A reading from the book of the prophet Zephaniah. Seek the Lord, all you humble of the earth, who have observed his law. Seek justice. Seek humility. Perhaps you may be sheltered on the day of the Lord's anger. But I leave as a remnant in your midst a people, humble and lowly, who shall take refuge in the name of the Lord, the remnant of Israel. They shall do no wrong and speak no lies, nor shall there be found in their mouths a deceitful tongue. They shall pasture and couch their flocks with none to disturb them. The word of the Lord.
Blessed the poor in spirit, the kingdom of heaven is theirs.
The Lord keeps faith forever, secures justice for the oppressed, gives food to the hungry. The Lord sets captives free.
Blessed the poor in spirit, the kingdom of heaven is theirs.
The Lord gives sight to the blind. The Lord raises up those who will bow down. The Lord loves the just, and the Lord protects strangers.
Blessed the poor in spirit, the kingdom of heaven is theirs.
The fatherless and the widow the Lord sustains, but the way of the wicked he thwarts. The Lord shall reign forever, your God, O Zion, through all generations.
Blessed the poor in spirit, the kingdom of heaven is theirs.
A reading from the first letter of St. Paul to the Corinthians. Consider your own calling, brothers and sisters. Not many of you were wise by human standards. Not many were powerful. Not many were of noble birth. Rather, God chose the foolish of the world to shame the wise. God chose the weak of the world to shame the strong. And God chose the lowly and despised of the world, those who count for nothing, to reduce to nothing those who are something, so that no human being might boast before God. It is due to him that you are in Christ Jesus, who became for us a wisdom from God, as well as righteous, sanctification, redemption, so that it is written, whoever boasts shall boast in the Lord. The word of the Lord.
Alleluia, alleluia, alleluia. Alleluia, alleluia, alleluia.
Rejoice and be glad. Your reward will be great in heaven.
Alleluia, alleluia, alleluia. Alleluia, Alleluia, Alleluia. The Lord be with you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Matthew. When Jesus saw the crowds, he went up the mountain, and after he had sat down, his disciples came to him. He began to teach them, saying, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are they who mourn, for they will be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the land. Blessed are they who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be satisfied. Blessed are the merciful, for they will be shown mercy. Blessed are the clean of heart, for they will see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called children of God. Blessed are they who are persecuted for the sake of righteousness, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when they insult you and persecute you and utter every kind of evil against you falsely because of me. Rejoice and be glad, for your reward will be great in heaven." The Gospel of the Lord. When Jesus saw the crowds, he went up the mountain, and after he had sat down, his disciples came to him. Last week, as we witnessed and experienced Jesus publicly manifesting himself, calling to himself the first four of the 12 that he would ultimately gather around him to be that intimate circle of those whom he will send first to the lost tribes of Israel, and later, as that task is accomplished, then more will be sent to all the ends of the earth to draw in to the mystery of what God is revealing to the world, namely the gift of salvation, the gift and communication of a relationship grounded in love that is expressed with fidelity and hope and with virtues that we hear communicated in this sermon that Jesus begins, the Sermon on the Mount. Hopefully, we are beginning to see how the Old Testament points to the New and how the New is a fulfillment of all that has been disclosed. It would not have missed the attention of the first century Jews, would not have missed the similarities between the reality of Jesus ascending a mountain as Moses ascended a mountain. Now, this is the similarities, there are differences. Because as you know, Moses ascended the mountain and came down to the people with the Torah, with the law. Jesus ascends the mountain and allows his disciples to come up with him on the mountain. This discloses the fact that this law that Jesus is now declaring is in itself a fulfillment and one that is superior to the first law, because this is a revelation of a law of gospel of love. And it points to the blessed life of heaven. So yes, when we hear what Jesus discloses, we can see how the prophet Zephaniah, everybody's favorite book of the Bible, isn't it? Zephaniah? Well, I'm being facetious. It's one of the minor prophets. You barely know he even existed unless you hear it in the liturgy as we do today. And what is Zephaniah speaking? He's speaking to the reality of the remnant that has persisted in the ways of God and that has, by the divine providence, survived all of the trials that the chosen people of God have experienced throughout the ages.
It's a remnant that's holy, that's lowly and humble, seeking refuge in the Lord. In other words, this was a prayerful people. They were a people who knew and depended upon God for everything, a people who strove for the truth and spoke the truth. This is what we are being shown in the first reading, and it also highlights the significance of the reality of the kingdom of heaven at hand. Jesus made that declaration. Now he is beginning to share with us the description of the disposition of those who choose to enter this kingdom, to enter this relationship. And doesn't it always strike us? Well, at least it strikes me, that whenever you hear Jesus teach as he does, and with the authority that he alone can claim for himself, because that's also important to see and note in this teaching, in this first of his great discourses, "Blessed are you when they insult you and persecute you and utter every kind of evil against you falsely because of who? Me." He doesn't say because of this one or that one, but because of him. He has established himself as the God-man. They understood Jesus to speak with authority, and this is one of the reasons why the people were oftentimes spellbound, amazed, with gratitude in their hearts, exceeding gratitude, as they witnessed the way God has entrusted to humanity his very power, not just to work signs and wonders, but to bring about a liberation that far exceeds, and yet what Moses' liberation pointed to, delivering the chosen people of God from the place of slavery in Egypt. Just as he ascended a mountain, as we already have established, Jesus ascends the mountain, just as he led the people through the waters of the Red Sea, Jesus would also allow himself to enter the waters of the Jordan, and thereby arising in a way that all sin would be set now. There's a means now to expiate one's sins definitively in the Lord, to live the life of grace in season and out of season. What also strikes us is when we hear Jesus, so again, when Jesus begins to speak to us about the matters of God and the kingdom of God, it always is such a reversal to what we see in the world. Blessed are the poor in spirit, those who recognize they have no merits in and of themselves to garner the attention of God. It's unmerited. It's God's gratuitous gift to provide and establish us as he does, as his beloved. Blessed are they who mourn. Why are those who mourn blessed? Because the person who mourns is the person who loves. You remember when Jesus arrived at the tomb of Lazarus, at the request of the sisters Martha and Mary, the shortest verse in the whole of the Bible, Jesus wept. To which someone in the crowd commented, "See how he loved him." And then it didn't take long for somebody else in the crowd to say, "Surely this man who restored sight to the blind could have done something to prevent this man from dying." And then, of course, Jesus performed the great sign, "Lazarus, come out." And he came forth at the command of the eternal word of God in flesh. "Untie him and let him go." So what we are being shown, and this is in essence a self-portrait, Jesus in revealing what he reveals to us in this Sermon on the Mount, in this beginning, these Beatitudes, is what he looks like, how he is, in season and out of season, in relationship to everyone he encounters. And what happens, we are being invited to hide our lives in him, to see our lives as being hidden in him. And the more we hide ourselves in Christ to the extent that nobody recognizes us no longer, but they see Christ in you and in me. Just as St. Paul declared, "It is no longer I who am living, but Christ living in me." That's the expression of someone who's not only converted to belief in Jesus as the Son of God, that's the expression of one who has truly surrendered all. I was singing a beautiful song to the children after Mass Wednesday. "I surrender all, I surrender all to thee, my blessed Savior, I surrender all." And I told the children one more time together with Father,
I surrender all. I surrender all to thee, my blessed Savior. I surrender all.
The person who surrenders all to Jesus is the person that that whatever they experience in this world, in relationship to a friend or a foe, to someone who they know and someone whom they don't, a stranger, in whatever other good or bad experiences they encounter, they receive it all as the providence of God working on them, realizing the perfection of their lives, which is nothing less than holiness, which is one of the most essential characteristics of the child of God. So when we hear these Beatitudes and we strive to imitate the Lord Jesus Christ in season and out of season with the grace that God provides us with through His Word and sacrament, the transformation that we're experiencing isn't something that's going to be observable by the world as such. They won't be able to see it, but they will be beneficiaries. The whole world will be beneficiaries of our willing submission, our willing surrender to Jesus, who is the first and the last, who is the way, the truth, and the life, who is the gospel He declares today and every day going forward. Let us take hold of the words of St. Paul in his second reading today in his epistle to the Corinthians. Consider your own calling, brothers and sisters. Who of us have come from high standing? And yet this is who He chooses, because God works through the humble and the lowly, those who realize that without God, they are nothing. But with God, all things are possible. So what we see now is one thing. What we shall see later in the kingdom of heaven, in its totality, that's the other thing. The rewards that He speaks about to those who embrace this disposition that He's highlighting for us in this Sermon on the Mount, it will not be fully realized until the great age of glory. But we do experience it in a foretaste form while we are on the way. God love you.